CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver 3 essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. I don't know what time of year it is that you are listening to this podcast, but it's summer here in Seattle. It's the middle of July. It's hot. You might have noticed we've slowed down a little bit. We're both super busy with vacations and kids' activities and basically just enjoying the time of year where you get to play a little bit more. And that's a little bit different than what we're talking about today. Sorry, we're talking about when it's harder, particularly with your partners. Your partner doesn't listen to you, maybe doesn't understand your emotions. Maybe one or both of you are governed by fear. What do you do with that as a partner, as a therapist? We're going to chat about it. Hope you'll stick around.
Hey.
Hey, it's been a while.
Yeah, I know. It's busy.
Good to see your face. I wish everybody could see what you look like right now. Zach is wearing a hoodie, of course, in the middle of summer, might I add.
It's cold here in Seattle today.
How cold is it?
I don't know. 75.
Uh-huh. All right. So it's 75. You're wearing a hoodie indoors. Mm-hmm. All of your lights are off and you are wearing sunglasses.
I look like the Unabomber.
You do. And you have the hood on. You look like the Unabomber. Well, I'm covered in sweat because I did not shower after my workout. But it's okay because we're not in the same place and you can't smell me. So catch me up. What's happening in your life? What's new? What's different? What's exciting? You still have this cough.
Cough. My wife made me make an appointment with the gastroenterologist, so I'm going to see the gastroenterologist next month.
Good.
Hopefully, to take care of this thing because I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to wait for a month to go see. You've had this cough for like 6 months.
I only called yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well. That's part of the reason why people who are married live longer is that we help to take care of one another. So thank you, Rebecca. That.
Nice work.
Thanks. Good segue.
Good segue. Yeah, not too much. I mean, it's summer, so we're super busy and the kids are often, I always say there are 4 of us are moving in 6 directions at one time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
We're all just kind of flying around. Yeah. What's new with you?
We went, I don't really have anything new. We're doing a lot of our summer camping. We decided not to buy an RV, but instead we are using a service called Outdoorsy, and it's basically like the Airbnb for campers and RVs. And we rented this RV that was basically a converted van, but one of the old school Ford vans, very boxy.
Uh-huh.
It's 4-wheel drive and then they put a pop top on the top and it just was like this monster mobile.
Okay.
And we drove it to Nevada and we camped in the Ruby Mountains, which was beautiful. And that's kind of what we're doing, but we're coming to Seattle and we're going to visit family and then we're going to go to Iceland.
Are you
going to
visit me?
It's a really packed schedule, Zach. It's very, very busy. We might work a brewery date in there.
Okay.
Here, I'll give you my rally cap. There, you like that?
Yeah, I love it.
Cool. Well, when we first started, you caught me eating ice cream. And I have to say that this episode is sponsored by Halo Top. Are you aware of that?
They don't know it. They don't know that they're sponsored.
They don't know it.
But
I have to tell you, so the what I didn't tell you about the ice cream that I was eating is it's a pint of ice cream. By the way, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning and I just needed it. So I hope my nutritionist isn't listening. Mm-hmm. But it's a pint of ice cream. The entire pint was 280 calories and 9 grams of protein.
Okay.
That's incredible. That's like a third of the amount of calories, not even less, maybe an eighth of the amount of calories you would get with like Haagen-Dazs. So I just needed to tell you and the how many billion of listeners we have 6 billion now,
yeah, six billion
listeners,
yeah.
About Halo Top ice cream.
You know, there's only 7 billion people on the planet.
So many people. They don't own a phone. They don't have internet access, but they're still listening to us. So what are we talking about today? We actually have some good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's this thing that I've been noticing in my practice because, for some reason here in Seattle, I get a lot of, engineers married to nurses.
Score.
Yeah. So, you know, she's generally the nurse and she's got all this empathy and understands how to talk to people and her bedside manner is amazing. And she's got mm-hmm. this like just real gentle,
natural caring,
yeah.
nurturer.
And he's generally the engineer, which means he just like wants to solve a problem. Like tell right. me what the problem is. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to get to find totally. The shortest distance between the complaint
and the solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's wild talking to these guys because you don't want to get mad at the guy for being an engineer. He's probably a very good engineer, but
yeah.
they sure do have a hard time communicating with each other.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That might be an interesting combination. And then the two lawyers is always a fun combination also. But I totally get where you're coming from, where you have the engineer, what doesn't matter if it's the male or female or male or whatever the partnership dynamic is, but engineers tend to have this sort of like lack of empathy mm. or lack of kind of like sitting and really diving into the feelings and the emotions. Instead, they're just kind of jumping right to the problem solving, right? And it seems to be pretty dismissive. Is that what you're seeing in your practice? I didn't quite allow you to elaborate.
No, I mean, but yes. I mean, what you're seeing is, or what I'm seeing anyway, is a lot of just missing, right? Missing, and if we want to call it dismissing, sort of the context that's underneath the text, right? The need to not just solve the problem, but to actually be in the moment with your partner mm-hmm. who is suffering. So there's a whole category in some of our early assessments. It's actually called emotion dismissing. And I find that emotion dismissing isn't necessarily, again, it's not necessarily a terrible trait. Some people, it makes them good. The ability to kind of get away from emotion and makes them good at other things. But in a relationship, the distance between someone who's emotion dismissing and someone who's really adept with emotion, that's usually where the pain is in mm-hmm. the gap between those two things. And so, so I do a lot of sort of stopping and saying, did you hear what actually got said? You know, mm-hmm. 'cause he wants to go, mm-hmm. I didn't know there was a right way to put the car seat on the, what's it called? They just were through the TSA belt. I didn't know there was a right way to put, and I was like, that's actually not her complaint. Her complaint is you're not paying attention. You're not, mm-hmm. you're not aware of what's going on for her in that chaotic moment. So
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Yeah. I think, you know, if I think about this idea of like emotion dismissing, or if I could put it another way, is like the idea of sort of invalidating emotion mm. when it's out there, is I have partners, and I'm just going to put some genders to it just to kind of clarify a little bit, because what I'm seeing often is the males are more dismissing or invalidating than the females in my practice. And the complaint that I'm seeing is my husband is afraid of my feelings. Mm. It feels as if my husband is afraid. And so whenever I express strong feelings, I cry, I get anxious, I am feeling, I'm pouting, I'm whatever it might be, they feel as if their partner is really either ignoring or outright just say expressing an invalidation of those emotions. You shouldn't be having them. It's not the time or place. This is why are you crying? And that's what I'm seeing a lot of. So
Laura
I
Heck,
hear that complaint.
Laura
yes,
Heck,
sir.
Do you think that her complaint is actually right? Do you think he is afraid? Do you think he's fearful of her feelings?
I do think that there are absolute cases where people are afraid of strong emotion. Hmm. Yeah. I think that fear is a really powerful motivator. Hmm. And, but what I'm hearing from the males is that they just feel like it's another problem for them to fix. They're rather than when they see their partner with strong emotion, crying or anxiety, rather than leaning in and being present in those emotions and being kind of like that nurturing, empathetic partner that wants to kind of dig in and say, what's going on for you? They see that as a problem that they are then responsible for fixing. Hmm. And it's exhausting. Like if you were a sort of an engineer and your partner's, you come home and you just spent all day, I actually had a partner a couple a while back where he said, I have a hard time being empathetic with my wife because I spend all day long fixing problems at work and she's the last problem I want to fix. Hmm. And I went, so she's a problem to be fixed. Her feelings, her emotions are a problem to be fixed. And that's where he was really just kind of like turning away from her in those moments. It was pretty toxic in their relationship. Mm. Yeah.
I'm interested in this.
Why did you ask me?
Well, because I think fear is a really interesting thing. I mean, I think people are, I don't know if I feel like I agree with that lady. Like, I don't know if guys are, or at least not the ones that I'm imagining, are afraid of her feelings. I think they're intolerant. I think they are ignorant. I think they're disinterested, but I don't know if it's fear. But I do think you're right. Fear is actually a pretty wild motivator. When I was in graduate school, we had a professor in our marriage and family class talk about this idea. And again, it's pretty gendered, and so you can take it or leave it. But the idea that men are fundamentally grappling with one fear and women are fundamentally grappling with another fear. And in a relationship, when those fears get exposed, they act out, right? So men are operating out of a fear that they are not enough, right? I'm not enough for her. Women are acting out of a fear that they're too much. I'm afraid I'm too much for him. And so when he confirms that she's too much by dismissing her feelings or by making her...
Right. It exposes
then
even more.
Then it's even more painful. And when she confirms for him that he's not enough, that he's not doing it right, then it's more painful for him. And so they...
What an interesting vicious cycle there.
Yeah, they totally trigger each other. And I think that's often what I see, especially with, say, with the engineer and the nurse. She doesn't want to believe... She doesn't want that fear validated by her husband. And he doesn't want to feel like he's not good, like he can't handle it. And so it kicks in. Again, it's pretty gendered, and I don't mean to like apply it universally, but I see that pattern quite a bit.
This reminds me of a story when John and Julie Gottman are teaching at the Art and Science of Love workshop. It reminds me a lot of the story that John tells where he walks by the bathroom and he sees that Julie's physically upset about something. And he has a moment, at that moment, he can either ignore because he doesn't want to lean in. He doesn't want to tap in and say, hey, honey, what's going on for you?
Well, instead, in the context of that story, too, he's reading a novel that he's just about to finish.
Right. I mean, he has something very important that he wants to do, and he knows that it would take him away from the end of the novel. And in our minds, we always have like a laundry list of things that we want to do. And so instead, he chooses to... do the right thing, which is not to ignore the pain, which is not to dismiss it, but instead engage with it and get curious for his wife about what's going on. And I think that's what I think of about the difference between emotion dismissing and invalidation. And I want to give a couple of examples of how you might be invalidating your partner and you might not recognize that you're invalidating their emotions. But what we're talking about instead is rather than ignoring it, leaning in and getting curious about it. Mm. So shall I give you some of these statements that I heard, like the top five emotion invalidating statements?
I think you should. So what we're saying is if these sentences or phrases are present in your relationship, that's a red flag or a pink flag. We'll call it a pink flag.
A pink flag? Okay.
Not quite a red flag, but like a...
And I lied. I only have four statements. It's four statements.
Okay.
So you're expressing to your partner some strong emotions. I'm really upset about this. Maybe you're crying, whatever. Just imagine yourself having some strong emotions. And your partner's response is, but at least it's not this. Or it could be worse. Mm-hmm. Like, that's quite invalidating, mm-hmm. right? So whatever you're feeling or experiencing, it's really, you really shouldn't have those feelings, because it could be worse. Mm. It could be a lot worse. The second one, you shouldn't feel that way.
Oh, man.
I mean, that one's pretty blunt, yeah. But I see partners say that to each other, where it's like, you shouldn't be anxious about our daughter, you know, going off to summer camp. You shouldn't be worried about her. Like, of course she's going to be worried about her. Mm. Of course. Those are her feelings. And it's not something that you should be invalidating or dismissing at that point. Okay, so I thought this was an interesting one. I'm going to give an example, because I had to read into this a little bit more. I'm sorry you feel that way. How many times have we been taught to say that?
Do you know what the next word is?
That's actually what?
But. Yeah. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm really not sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. So here's an example that I really liked, because it put this one into context. So Zach, imagine that I'm pinching your arm, and I pinch it, and then I say, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I pinch it, and I pinch it, and I continue to pinch it harder and harder until you can't stand it anymore. And you say, stop it. That really hurts me. And my response to you is, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I'm the one causing you pain, yeah. And I'm the one that's pinching you. So I thought that was a really interesting statement. All right, so the last one. You shouldn't stop thinking about it and just move on. Mm. Just stop. Stop thinking about it. Move on. Push it out of your mind, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. I kind of feel like I do this to my husband, I'll be honest. That when he comes home and he's stressed out and he's thinking about work, I can think of two cases. One where I've done it wrong, which is more often than not, and then one where I did it the right way. And you know, he's saying, I just can't stop thinking about work, and he keeps looking at his phone. I'm pissed off he's looking at his phone, and he's reading his emails. I'm like, honey, you just need to stop. You just need to stop worrying about work and just clear your mind. Just move on. Mm. That's pretty dismissing, is it not?
I mean, yeah. I would be. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I thought I was helping. Yeah. I really did. Yeah. I thought I was helping. And then I think the one way that I did handle it properly was, I said, I can tell that you're having a really hard time sort of transitioning from work life to home life and clearing your mind. And that was really all I needed to say, was just recognizing what was going on for him. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to problem solve. I told him to go take a walk.
You know, there's a fifth one that I hear a lot, particularly lately. I've got this couple, and his favorite thing is to say, that's not true. That's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true. You're basically saying you're lying. Your feelings are lying, or lies. Oh. And I usually want to stop and correct and go, it is true that she feels that way. It might not be true that that event happened the way that she's describing it, but it is true that she feels something. Or what is true? You know, like, okay, mm-hmm. fine. Maybe that thing that maybe you're right. Maybe it's not true. Maybe she's totally misrepresenting the situation, and she shouldn't mm-hmm. feel that way. But what? Mm-hmm. What can you call true? Like, what is true? On her behalf, or like in this case, like Ryan's behalf, right? Your case that you were describing. It is true that he's having a hard time transitioning. So I don't know.
It's true. He's stressed out. It's true that he's having a really hard time. He doesn't want to engage with the family because he's too in his brain about work mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. With that, I think that it's really important for people, if we're now sort of listing like the five invalidating statements, I think it's helpful for us to come back and say, like, well then how can you in these situations validate your partner and be present for their emotions? It's important to understand that you don't have to agree with the emotion, but you do have to recognize that your partner's having that emotion. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be an emotion that you necessarily would have or feel is appropriate in that situation, but you're not them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it takes a little bit of time to go, I'm going to look out a little bit. I had this wild experience this weekend. I was at a hotel and I was
with
just
your wife?
No. with my lover. No. So,
right.
I was at a at an event, and I was looking down at the carpet, and it was blue. Like, the carpet was blue. It was also kind of had this wild design on it. And then I looked up, and I looked down, like, across the room at the same carpet. At the other end of the room, it was tan. And it's because of just the way that the design itself sort of imposes itself immediately on your eyeballs as blue. But if you look out farther, the tan comes up, and it becomes a different kind of thing. And so it's like you have to kind of take the time to experience the fact that maybe you do want to dismiss this thing. Maybe you do have a blue emotion that is in your kind of in your face with your partner, but you do have to look up. Like, you have to look up and look out far enough to see that there's also exact same thing is happening, but it can be two things, right? It can be blue in your face, but also tan way out there if you take the time to pay attention.
Okay. Man, I have to say, I had a hard time focusing because all I could remember was this blue or gray dress. Was it blue or tan?
Oh, yeah.
Blue or gray. You know, the dress that was circulating around social media? Yeah, where everybody was saying, no, it's blue, and no, it's this other color. And everybody has a difference of perception. Or the most recent one was when you could hear.
Yeah.
It was a listening one.
It was like Yanny or Laurel, I think.
Yes, yes. So in that situation, you could say, I understand that you're hearing Laurel, but it's actually Yanny.
No, you don't. You stop at the part where you stop before you say but.
You see, right. But you just take but out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, cool. Let's wrap this up. I think that it's important, just if I was to summarize sort of the big take home from my point of view, is that when you're experiencing emotion from your partner, there's probably maybe two tendencies. One we've identified might be the tendency of feeling like, what do I do with this emotion? Like, it's too big. It's uncomfortable for me. We didn't really talk about that because when you asked me the question about fear, do you really feel like this husband is afraid of his wife's emotion? I do think that some people are afraid. It's an emotion that triggers them from earlier life experiences, whatever it might be. So you might be afraid, or you might feel like it's a problem to solve, but the whole thing that I'm trying to impress upon it is, do not invalidate or dismiss your partner's emotion. Dig in, take some time, take a breather, whatever it might be, and instead just get curious and simply ask your partner, how would you like for me to be there for you? Hmm. How can I support you? Because oftentimes people jump to their own conclusions of what they need to be doing for their partner when they're experiencing this big emotion. And I would say, take the mystery out of it and simply ask your partner for some leadership, some guidance. Hmm. What do I need to do to be able to be there to support you right now? That would be my take home.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's probably back to this idea of fear, right? I think we don't want our partners to be afraid. And so, you know, whether it's removing this fear that I'm too much or that I'm not enough, or even just acknowledging your fear and saying, okay, I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I want to be, you know, I want to be defensive, or I want to flee. I mean, people don't really say this in real life, but I think if you said it inside your brain and gave yourself enough time to just sort of breathe and acknowledge that maybe two things are going on. Maybe there isn't a feeling here that you need to pay attention to, and also you're kind of afraid of it. That's allowed. And just to learn, I think, just to learn how to go, okay. You're having that feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let that exist. And then we can deal with it, because you can't solve it until it's, if you feel like you can hear it or it feels heard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. For your own emotions.
Yeah, I mean, if she's got a big complaint and you're ready to solve it, that's not going to be possible until she believes that you've heard it.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. And I think that we are open to suggestions of what's going on in people's lives and what is important for them if they're grappling with an issue or a common complaint or somewhere where they're feeling stuck in their own relationship. Let's hear it. Send us an email. Best email to reach us at is info@forbetter.us. It's forbetter.us. And we'll respond back to you. And hopefully we'll be able to respond verbally through our podcast.
Right on. Cool.
Okay. All right.
Happy trails.
Happy trails to you. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. This episode today was brought to you by you. You are the ones who are sponsoring us. I joke around that it's ice cream, that it's Blue Apron, that it's all of these different things, but it really it's you who have become patrons of Marriage Therapy Radio. So thank you so much for the loyal listeners who have already signed up to do a monthly support, financial support of us. And thank you so much for those of you who are going to go to marriagetherapyradio.com and click on that link that says Patreon to become patrons of Marriage Therapy Radio. Any small amount has a great cumulative effect in helping us to keep our lights on and keep our wheels turning. So thank you so much. But more importantly, I want to thank all of you for the energy and the time that you are putting into investing in your relationship to make it better today than it was yesterday.